What are you doing here?
I'm standing on this invisible can of paint and leveling out this here shelf, what with my three screws and a series of big fucking tools. Obviously.
He's got you there, John.
Yeah, but we have an episode to record.
Ah, don't worry, you won't bother me none. Now pass me that big fucking screwdriver over there.
Can't you get it?
If I get off this paint can, I won't be able to find it again.
He's got you there, John.
Besides which, I only got 10s or 11s more episodes to finish this thing before you two's is done with Cybertron.
Can't you finish it when we're not recording?
What, and get out of show business?
We're not in show business. This show doesn't make any money.
It don't.
It don't.
He's got you there, Lou.
Well, fuck this noise. You two's can level the shelf on your own. I'm gonna go watch Murder, She Wrote. Do do be do be do do be do 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 be 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 do.
Well, hey, welcome back to the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show. I'm Paul.
I'm John.
And today it is episode 41 of Transformers Cybertron. It is City.
This episode was written by Kazuhiko Soma. And the last time on Transformers Cybertron, Megatron became Galvatron. And in this episode, Optimus tells us they found Atlantis, but it won't be easy rescuing Bud and the Minicons.
Yep, we have to be careful. And now down inside the Atlantis, Sideways comes to when Starscream tells them they crashed. And because of his lack of piloting skill, like he says, and let's get out of this place we were trying to get to in the first place. But then the Autobot ship starts coming down at them, firing, even though the Autobots know that Bud is on this ship.
Yeah, and Starscream, because they're under attack, he's like, I'm too weak, you go handle it. And because Sideways dislikes Starscream so much, I don't know why he doesn't just take him out here, but he yeah. goes off, gets angry, kicks a barrel, and then a bunch of barrels yes. fall on him.
He's like, oui, mon capitaine, parce que les Français now, I guess, but yeah, he just buried paint cans, and I guess they store them above the ceiling tiles. But now we go to Bud. He wakes up with the Minicons there too, and Jolt thinks the ship has landed. Not crashed, landed, and they might be on Gigantion, but before they can figure that out, something starts approaching from the shadows. We don't see right away that it's somewhere else in the ship, but it seems like it's coming at them. Looks like a peg leg kind of a thing.
It does. And then we go to Sideways, who's just outside now, and he's fighting Optimus and Wingding, and they combine.
Well, yeah, first they fly right past him, and that annoys him, and then I think Wingding turns around and says, should we deal with him? But yeah, they combine, and then they get out the Gatling guns, and while they're doing that, up in the air, Override leads the other Autobots into the ship to say Bud, and back with Bud, the shadowy thing approaching them is in the ventilation system, he says.
Yeah, we hear it coming closer and closer, getting louder and louder, and then it bursts out of the ventilation system, and it's a scrap metal, apparently.
Well, yeah, it lands, it's kind of looking at them like, oh, what are we going to do? And then the thing's head opens, and it's Kobe inside it, and he says something like, hey, bro, and then Bud's line is, it ain't Kobe.
and he runs up to Kobe. He's like, I knew you'd save me. I just didn't think it wouldn't be as cool as this. And Kobe's like, what, you don't think I'm cool? He's like, no, not really.
But also, why didn't Kobe call Bud on the Magic 6 button Genesis controller and tell him, hey, listen, I'm on my way. You're going to hear some banging and crashing. That's just me coming. Like, could have let him know, right?
Why didn't Kobe do a lot of things in this series is a good question. But we go back to Optimus and Wingding. They're fighting Sideways. And then, or no, they beat Sideways, I guess. But then Kobe shows up with Bud, and they all hear this big rumbling.
Well, yeah, because they're standing on top of the ship, and they figure, okay, Starscream's trying to fly, but no, the ship's too damaged to fly. Can't be that. But then Scattershot figures out he's powering up the engines of this thing to power up the weapons because he's going to either blast them or just blow up the ship.
Who knows with Starscream, especially with this Starscream. But then Quick Mix shows up and he transforms and uses his cement mixer. And where do they get stone? Where do they get stone for cement on this metal planet? That doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, because you need sand, right? And concrete mix and water to make this stuff, yeah.
But he decides he's going to bury the Atlantis in concrete.
And it's this absolutely ridiculous amount of concrete coming out of this drum. Like, it's worse than back in the Collapse with the amount of water that Optimus pulls out of the thing and somehow does something with it. Like, where is he getting... One of them even says, where's it all coming from? But yeah, he just buries the entire ship up to the friggin' top of it in cement.
I think Override has a line where she's like, oh, it's probably like the ancient or the road fixer thing on Velocitron, which I think they were going for some. It's the ancients who built it, whatever thing, but the line does not make any sense. But whatever. We go to the Kijiji, and Bud and everybody's happy to see Kobe and Bud back, yada, yada, yada. But Bud and Lori want to know when they're going to get scrap metal robots.
Yeah, and Kobe's like, well, guys, I only had enough parts to make one. And Bud's like, bullshit, Kobe. The Autobots blew up hundreds of these damn things. And Kobe then shows them another neat feature of the thing, something they'll never believe. It can transform into a robot. Isn't that different and unexpected, guys?
Well, judging by their reactions, it's incredibly different and unexpected because every Transformer watches this thing transform and goes, whoa.
Yes, and like, ooh, ah.
Oh, my God.
And Scattershot tells them, I kind of helped him a little bit. I decoded old wiring diagrams or something, but I did disable all the things, weapons, you know,
why?
Those little scrap metals, they're dangerous.
Why would
bastards,
you disable the weapon system? On this robot Kobe's going to use, arguably, to fight Decepticon.
Well, safety first is what he says, and then Optimus says, yeah, that's great, but there's one thing you missed, and everyone just kind of looks at him, and he's like, you didn't say transform when you do it. Try it. It makes you feel good or something like that.
And then everybody laughs. Bud has a rumbly in his tumbly, and Lori's mom made cookies or whatever, so she gives Bud one of them.
And now Scattershot's analyzing the data chip that Kobe found, and boy, there's a lot of data on here, and there are four ways to get to the bottom of this planet where the key is. They can go down, 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 or down. Yeah. And Override worries, what if they pick down and Galvatron picks a different down and gets there first? So they're gonna split up and they're all gonna go down separately.
Then we just have this cut to Primus that seems completely pointless, where he's like, I'm rationing my energy to keep the black hole at bay. Thanks for the update, dude. And then we go to Sideways, who I guess Soundwave saved him?
Well, yeah, he saved him earlier when Wingding and Optimus were shooting him at him, because when the blast is coming at him, he even does like the Daffy Duck mother line. Yeah. And then like Soundwave comes in and one of them's like, yoink, when he pulls him away. But yeah, Sideways thanks Soundwave for saving him earlier. And Soundwave has a line about, that's what our people do or something
the
like
way
that.
Of
and
our
don't
people.
Forget
yeah.
why we're here. But okay.
Yeah, and that seems to catch Sideways off guard, but commercial break.
And when we come back with the Autobots, Jetfire's got the plan on the board. Three of the ways down are fairly clear, but that last one's going to be a bastard, so the heavy hitters are going to take that one, and Team 1 is Override, Wingding, and Lori. Team 2 will be Leo Breaker, Snarl, and Jetfire. 3 is Red Alert, Scattershot, and Hotshot, the Cybertron defense team, so I guess put them together. And then Team 4 is Optimus, Metroplex, Vector Prime, Bud, and the Minicons.
And Kobe, the one who has a fucking robot, is going to be left back with Quick Mix, Evac, and Landmine to coordinate or something, even though that's going to last 3 seconds.
And also, why are they sending Leo Breaker, Optimus, and Wingding on 3 separate teams?
Because they're like, stupid.
Wouldn't you think they'd put at least 2 of them together? That doesn't matter.
You would think. I did like, though, when they all roll out, Bud's like, hey, what about naming this team Team Bud instead? And everybody just ignores him. But we then go to the Decepticons. Thundercracker and then Crumple Zone and then Ransack are all polishing Megatron and like stroking his ego, being like, oh, you'll get back on your feet, boss. You'll be fine.
Gonna take you a while to learn all those new powers. Same thing happened to me. Could happen to anybody. And anything we can get you. And he just says, I want the key. And Ransack and Crumple Zone immediately, like any excuse they can take to get away from this guy, they'll take it. They're like, yes, sir. One key coming right up. Here we go. We're key finders.
Yeah, yeah. So they all leave. And then, you know, like Thunderblast and Scourge and even, I was going to say Metroplex, but Menasor, they all head out. And then we go to Optimus Prime's team, and they're at, I guess, some tiny little part of the tunnel. Now, I thought Jetfire and Scattershot and the whole team had figured out all these routes, but I guess not, because they reach this part of the tunnel that only a kid or Minicons can get through.
Well, yeah, and they even ask Bud, are you sure that, you know, this is the only way through? And they're like, well, unless you can turn into little kid mode, and Metroplex thinks that's a real knee slapper. But Bud and the Minicons get inside and blast the way open for the Autobots to join them, and Metroplex can't believe how this abandoned part of the city looks so abandoned. And they remind Metroplex that he's the one that sealed it off this way in the first place. And they all laugh. And then Optimus is like, well, it certainly isn't sealed anymore. And they all immediately stop laughing. It's like he tries to keep the joke going, but they all just stop.
Not funny. And we should mention that, this area is just like rubble and scrap metal everywhere. Not scrap metals, but scrap metal everywhere, which is visibly different from most of the cities, which are, you know, clean and pristine, albeit abandoned. But they consult their map again that Jolt has, and they realize there's one more chamber to pass. And as they're doing this, Ransack and Crumple Zone are spying on them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they have a map. They're heading to the key. And the Autobots get to the seal, and they think it's impressive. And Metroplex is like, it's a door. Don't you have doors where you come from? He just pries it open. But when you see them from behind, you can see just how big Metroplex is compared to the other ones, right? But Bud doesn't even come up to his ankle. And there's light coming from the other side of what I thought was an abandoned city.
This was dumb. This felt like the translators just trying to come up with a quick, you know, throwaway line that explains why when they walk into this city that's supposedly underground, there's blue sky.
Yep, and not one but two full moons in a blue sky, which is physically impossible. But if it is just a holographic transducer, I think Jolt explains, then yeah, you can have whatever phase of the moon you want, I guess. But yeah, it's like the ceiling at Hogwarts. It's enchanted to make it look like the sky.
Or actually, I'd say it's more like the sphere in Las Vegas, which is just, it's a giant projection screen on the ceiling. So they step out into this, and there's no point in this ceiling being a projector. Again, I'm sure it's just a line the translators came up with to not have to deal with a bunch of stuff. But as soon as they get out, Crumple Zone and Ransack swoop past and they grab Jolt.
When they finally see who it is after they stop on top of a building, they go on this long, ridiculous introduction. Like they're the terrible Tucson from Velocitron and all kinds of stuff. And they get up to paper fans again at one point. And at one point, they even look down at Jolt and go, we're not done yet. And then they keep going. But yeah, Metroplex jumps at them and they start jumping from building to building.
Now, I really like the animation of that because it's 3D animation of the camera like pulling back through these buildings and Ransack and Crumple Zone jumping back and forth and tossing Jolt back and forth. And even though Optimus is like, we can't open fire on them because we'll hurt Jolt, Metroplex doesn't seem to give a shit. He's swinging his big club saw at them. He's like swiping hard. He would kill Jolt if he hit him.
Seems like it to me. Which you would think that the guy from Gigantion, where Jolt is from, would, you know, be a little more careful to try not to hit the Minicon. But Bud calls Kobe on the Magic Genesis 6-button controller, and now back with the rescue team where Kobe is, Quick Mix gives Kobe something. We don't see what it is yet. And tells the others, Kobe tells him, I can handle Ransack and Crumple Zone myself. You guys stay here in case something really serious happens with one of the other teams.
So then we go back to Optimus Prime and Vector Prime, who are flying around pointlessly because they're not doing anything. And then Kobe arrives in his scrap metal suit and he calls the Decepticons out. It's like he has a megaphone. It's what it sounds like. And then he shouts, Kobe Bot, transform.
Yeah, and it gets a cutscene transformation, like with all the backgrounds and everything else and the music. And all it really does, though, is spin around and then just like a spring-loaded toy transform. And I guess this goes back to what Optimus said before about yelling transform when you do it, because Kobe does and Optimus approves.
But what this series is saying now is that Kobe Bot is more useful than Optimus Prime and Vector Prime together when taking on two like C-tier Decepticons like Ransack and Crumple Zone. But Kobe Bot throws I think he says something like basketball attack, and he throws this black orb ball at Crumple Zone and Ransack.
Yeah, it just lands between them and breaks open like a paintball kind of a thing. And they're like, what the hell was that? You're going to have to do better than that. And at first they don't realize what it is, but now they can't move because turns out it was quick drying cement or something.
Yeah. So Optimus lands in front of them. It's a great shot of him like really intimidating and imposing, looming over them.
Like you just see the glowing yellow eyes looking down at them. Yeah.
Yeah. And they actually do something smart here. They're like, okay, and toss Jolt off a building.
Yep, but they're like, okay, now what are you going to do? I forget what Crumple Zone says, but then Evac flies up behind them carrying Jolt.
Yeah, he's here.
And Optimus is going to teach these two a lesson, and it kind of looks like he cracks his knuckles, and then Metroplex throws his saw and a stick thing, which Optimus actually can lift this time, and he uses that thing cyber key, and then he tells Ransack and Crumple Zone, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Like, No, it isn't, man.
No, it is not. In fact, it's going to hurt them a lot because despite being glued to the ceiling or cemented to the ceiling, he cracks them with this thing and they go flying.
I thought it would be neat, though, where when it showed them shooting earlier, they shot out some of these holographic panels in the ceiling and parts of the sky turned black. If they had just like two little things in the background, if it had done that.
But if that had been part of the original script, that would have made sense. But again, I'm guaranteeing that in the, I can't guarantee, but I would bet real money that in the original Japanese version, this is not an underground city.
But now the rest of the rescue team is here, so I hope nobody in another tunnel needs help. It'd be funny if it cut to the others and Hotshot's running around with his head on fire and Red Alert's just calmly trying to contact the rescue team. Yes, we've got a situation of it. And then they do that thing that's in every anime where it shows the pilot standing next to the giant mecha in robot mode. Like, how did Colby get out of that thing, and how's he going to get back in?
It's kind of like the lack of logic that you see in Back to the Future, when Doc Brown pulls backs the DeLorean out of the truck, and you can see that there's no room for the gullwing doors to open in the DeLorean, which meant that he had to get in the DeLorean, drive it into the truck, somehow the truck doors close, and then he does the whole reveal thing. So, like, Colby got out of this thing, had it transform, and then just stand to the side. That doesn't matter. But insists that Colby has to make him a robot now, and Colby's like, you can't even drive.
Yeah, but Earth laws don't apply here. Override worries that if they all go down one tunnel, then Galvatron might go down a different tunnel and beat them to the key. Well, first off, he made his own tunnel before. I guess it'd be ridiculous to think he might try that again or even use the same tunnel that you could use too. It's too stupid to worry about. But last time they said that if the data still existed at all, it'd be on that one computer they found. Lo and behold, it was, and they took it with them. That means Galvatron doesn't know about the tunnels. He can only possibly find a way down if he follows someone who knows the way. So what's the point of splitting up? Pick a tunnel and get down there as fast as you can and seal shit off behind you as you go. Turn off the lights that are left on with nobody in the room for who knows how many million years while you're at it, saving some money on the power bill. And don't worry about getting back up the way you came. You know damn well there's three other tunnels you can use to escape. Galvatron doesn't. Which brings up another good point. Why bother sending a team down the fourth tunnel? Jetfire says the thing will be difficult to get through. Well, it'd be just as difficult for the Decepticons, who will only know it exists at all if you show them, like you did, and then they did. And look how that turned out, idiots. And what's the point of sending Optimus, Wingding, and Leo Breaker on three different teams? Even the rescue team.
Here we are at the end of another episode of the Transformers Nitpickers Podcast Show. The episode we just reviewed was City Paul. What was metropolitan about this episode?
This one wasn't bad.
I agree, though.
Presumably the other teams are also on their way down their own tunnels. It didn't keep switching between them, just stayed on one of them. So I wonder if the next one or even the next few, like, they're all going to be happening at the same time and eventually they're all going to meet at the same point.
What were the, I'm totally blanking on the titles of the episodes of Prime. Do you remember when there was like the three episodes or four episodes all started with the letter R and they were happening at the exact same time? That would be neat if this episode did that, but I don't
remember
think this series is smart enough.
Yeah.
I agree. I like that it seems that each team's going to get their own episode. The plot moved pretty quick. It was a little silly that, like, all of the coordination team just left and came to help Optimus.
Yeah.
I would have liked it if Colby Bot was a little more like a mecha, like a Gundam Wing kind of thing.
Well, at the same time, though, like, it wouldn't really make sense that he would know how to fight like an Autobot just because he's in the giant suit, right? I'm kind of glad that he had to throw a basketball just where Scattershot disabled all the weapons. Like, he wasn't in there trying to go toe-to-toe with Crumple Zone.
The next episode we are going to review is Ambush. If you want to catch us by surprise, you could email the show at transformersnitpickers@gmail.com.
Yeah, make sure you rate and review us in your podcast app, whatever it is you listen to us with, and tell all your friends, tell everybody you know.
You can tell them that they can find old episodes of the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show at transformersnitpickers.podbean.com, and until the next episode, keep on transforming.
See you later. Yoink!